In today's news headlines, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments in a legal challenge being brought against President Donald Trump's ending of the DACA program. DACA, or the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which had been implemented by former President Barack Obama, enabled about 700,000 undocumented young people to defer their deportation and study or work in the U.S. As one of his earliest acts in office, Trump canceled the program. Hundreds of people gathered outside the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, demanding that the court uphold DACA. Here are the sounds of cheers as dozens of DACA registrants emerged from the court building after sitting through the arguments. Early reports suggest that the court's justices are split along predictably partisan lines, and that Chief Justice John Roberts may be the closely watched swing vote. Lower courts have repeatedly rejected the Trump administration's legal basis for ending the DACA program. Early on Tuesday morning, Trump dug in his heels, repeating a claim on Twitter that he's often made without evidence that, quote, many of the people in DACA, no longer very young, are far from angels. Some are very tough, hardened criminals. He then inexplicably added, if Supreme Court remedies with overturn, a deal will be made with Dems for them to stay. In other immigration news, Associated Press, in collaboration with the PBS series Frontline, released a documentary on Tuesday showing that a record number of children were held in custody during fiscal year 2018 to 2019. A shockingly high number of kids, nearly 70,000, spent more time in shelters and away from their families than in prior years. The number is 42% higher than the year before. According to Associated Press, quote, some of these migrant children who were in government custody this year have already been deported. Some have reunited with family in the U.S. where they're trying to go to school and piece their lives back together. About 4,000 are still in government custody, some in large impersonal shelters. United Nations researchers say this is the highest number of children detained separately from their parents of any country in the world by a very large margin. The Frontline documentary called Kids Caught in the Crackdown premieres Tuesday night. Here is the film's trailer.
The mass detention of migrant children.
They put me in a cage. I was with around 12 other younger minors. It was like a stadium, but with cages, and that's where they kept all the people.
Who's profiting?
Isn't there an incentive to detain kids?
There is a price incentive, but it's not a detention incentive.
And at what cost?
The latest FBI report on hate crimes in the U.S. found a slight overall dip in the number of incidents in 2018 compared to 2017. But a deeper look at the statistics shows that there was a drop in crimes aimed at properties, while the number of crimes aimed at people actually increased. Indeed, hate crimes against human beings reached their highest levels in 16 years, as per the report, for a total of 4,571. The report admits it may be undercounting crimes, given that cities and states are not required to report hate crimes and many do not turn over data. Hate crimes against Arabs and Muslims dropped, while those against Latinos increased. Sikh Americans were in far greater danger, with bias-motivated crimes against them tripling in 2018. Attacks on people with disabilities increased by 37%, while those against transgender people increased by 34%. In news from the House impeachment inquiry against President Donald Trump, there were more transcripts of secret depositions released. Among them were Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense Laura Cooper, State Department Ukraine Specialist Catherine Croft, and Christopher Anderson. Media analysis of the transcripts confirms what many others have already revealed, that the Trump White House froze military aid to Ukraine until President Volodymyr Zelensky agreed to announce investigations into Trump's electoral rival Joe Biden. Meanwhile, Mr. Trump has said he plans to release the transcript of an April phone call that he had with Zelensky by the end of the week, despite the fact that lawmakers are concerned about the contents of the July call, whose word-for-word transcript has not yet been released. CNN obtained an internal memo being circulated by Republicans outlining their party strategy to combat the impeachment probe. Most of it centers on the rough transcript of Trump's July call with Zelensky and ignores the many government officials who have testified with damning evidence of a quid pro quo. In the White House, the strategy is apparently marked by infighting between legal counsel Pat Cipollone and acting chief of staff Mick Mulvaney. Mulvaney is apparently angry that Cipollone did not do more to stop government officials from testifying to House committees. Mulvaney has himself been subpoenaed, and on Monday, he tried to join a lawsuit whose outcome could determine the legal requirement to testify. He later decided he would defy the subpoena regardless. Meanwhile, Democrats are busy working on electoral politics. Maya Rocky Moore Cummings, the widow of the late Congressman Elijah Cummings, has announced she will be running for his seat representing the Baltimore area in Maryland. Ms. Cummings resigned from her position as chair of the Maryland Democratic Party in order to focus on the campaign. The accomplished 48-year-old says she fought right alongside her husband for many progressive causes. A special election for the late Mr. Cummings' seat will be held next April. In Kentucky, State Representative Charles Booker plans to run for the Democratic Party's Senate nomination to challenge Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Mr. Booker only last year became Kentucky's youngest state lawmaker. He backs a Medicare for All plan and a Green New Deal. McConnell may be in political trouble given the recent Republican loss in the governor's race. In news from the Democratic presidential nomination, the nation's largest nurses union has officially endorsed Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders for president, while former Massachusetts Governor Patrick Deval says he is now considering entering the race. A new healthcare survey by Gallup has found that a shockingly high number of Americans know someone who died because they could not afford the cost of healthcare. The main takeaways of the poll are that 34 million adults know someone who died after not getting treatment. 58 million adults report an inability to pay for needed drugs in the past year. And there was very little progress under the Trump administration to lower prescription drug costs. In international news, Bolivia's former president Evo Morales, who resigned under pressure from the military, has fled to Mexico. Morales, who has said he was ousted in a coup, plans on staying in Mexico for only a short while before returning to his country. Bolivia remains in political limbo with a leadership vacuum. The New York Times has reported that leadership in the U.S. and Turkey are communicating with one another through an unorthodox back channel, using the sons-in-law of the two heads of state as emissaries. Turkish President Erdogan's two sons-in-law apparently regularly communicate with Mr. Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who has been accused of foreign policy inexperience. And the Wall Street Journal just reported that according to U.S. drone footage, Turkey's forces appear to have committed war crimes in northern Syria, where Trump withdrew U.S. forces at Erdogan's behest. Finally, in Afghanistan, the U.S.-backed Afghan government has agreed on a prisoner exchange deal with the Taliban, offering up three high-level militants in exchange for American and Australian professors who were captured 3 years ago. And that does it for our news headlines today.